Good morning. Again, it's good to be here. I'm very, very happy to be back in America. I remember when we were landing in France, I said, oof. I saw McDonald's. That's the first place I went to. It was good. So it's good to be back home, but my heart, like a pastor said, is in Africa, though. I mean, all this because of Jesus. I mean, if not, it's not worth going and having all the headache, because it is sometimes. I mean, just a simple thing to tell somebody, if you want it, ask me, I give it to you. But people prefer to steal it. I say, what is hard? You know, I feel like I want to spank somebody. But overall, I had a great time. Because when you wear, God wants you to be, you're happy. That's why I want to go back. And let me tell you, don't be, how can I say, offended. I didn't miss America a lot. I miss my wife. I miss families. But not just America for a good life. I didn't miss a lot. Because God gave it to me already. This country is a good country. I'm not putting down, but I'm where God wants me to be. So I carry with the joy my work, and sometimes it's difficult when, especially what I hate, when you want to go and buy something, then I start to think about America, about, you know, calling Pizza Hut or this, there's, it's none. So I end up, I sell for mango or some dry fruits. But overall, it was great. I enjoyed myself. And I don't want you to get me wrong. The trade is, how can I say that? It's going to help me to reach some people. Otherwise, I can't. Because, you know, now in our country, you got a lot of people from Rwanda, from Ghana, from the U.S., from horrendous, or whatever the name, those countries are in Africa because of the UN and peacekeeping. And I get to talk to those people. And sometimes one of my friends, I really like him, he's the head of the Air France in Bangui. And he always liked to talk about wood tree, woodworking. And so I told him, I'm a carpenter. And I said, you know, by the way, this is the job Jesus was used to do. So he got more interested, and then now we're very, very good friends. And my wife always, when they changed my ticket, my wife said, did you talk to Patrick? Make sure they change the date all the time, because she wanted me back home. So it was good. So the trade is going to help me to reach more people. You know, I mean, a lot of people coming from France because they want something like America. So they say, hey, do you know about Bruno? He got all the equipment and so forth. And they come and we talk. And, of course, when you come to see me, we have to pray. So it's a good opportunity. Keep praying for us. And I'm going to use that to reach more people. It's very, very important because I'm not very young to fool around working and trade, trying to make money. That's not my goal. My goal is to use the trade and reach more people for Christ. And by the way, you know, when people know Jesus, their life changed for the better. I remember I was talking to my wife. Somebody asked me to do some work. And I told my wife, I said, God, he's funny. He asked us a little bit too much, don't you think? You know, couple talks, all right? Me and my wife, sometimes we talk, we joke. I said, why God want us to do work as unto the Lord? Because I care myself cleaning here. You know, I was doing some renovation in somebody's home. And when it's not good, I can't just close my eyes. That's my biggest problem. I want to do it right. So I put extra more work, strength into the work. And I said, there's no amen through his work. And that's why every time when I work, when I leave, everybody call me. They want me back. You know, I remember the last job I was doing it. It's a concrete work. My boss called me back. He said, you know what? You come, I double your pay. I said, nope, I'm going to Africa. Who doesn't want more money? Don't you think I want to drive this nice pickup truck? GMC. You get inside there, it's nice and these little TV things. But what is it? This is not my call. This is not what God meant for me right now. So I'm not going to let those things stop me from being where God wants me to be. Because God called me to be a preacher. And that's what I want to do. And I want to encourage you this morning as a believer, we have to do what God wants us to do. Preach until Christ comes. He is coming soon. I don't know in what kind of world you're going to put your trust in it. Things are going bad. But when we have God, we got everything. So I want to encourage you today, as I was reading the book of Amos, it started to stir up something in me. And I said, maybe I need to share it with you because the time is getting bad. So before we read, I want my dad to pray for us. Dad, please. Amen. If you can't remember, five girls, they work with me. They were very, very nice girls. One had baby, and one, she's pregnant. Maybe if some days the pastor want me to, I can come back and show you the video. They were working hard. One, she's pregnant, but she keeps throwing blocks. And I said, easy. He said, oh, I can do it. Pop, pop, pop. But I want you to pray for them. I would like to open a little place with computer because I brought some with me and give them like a second chance they can learn, because when the girls in Africa, they get pregnant, they quit school and they feel like they have no chance. But they're very smart, and I God laid the burden on my heart. I want to work with them as we go back. So if it come into your mind, you pray for them. So I want to share with you in the book of Amos, chapter 1. Verse 1, and we're going to walk inside the scripture a little bit. I think Mama can hear me there. Right, Mama? Okay. Mama, can you hear me well? Good? Okay. All right, the book of Amos, chapter 1, the Bible said the words of Amos, who was among of the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar. Verse 2. Will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitation of the shepherd shall mourn, and the top of the Carmel shall wither. He was a man doing his little work job, if you will. He was working. He's a herdman, the Bible says. And he received God's calling. God called him after the flocks. And God said, I'm going to send you as a prophet to my people. You're going to go to Israel, and you're going to go to Judah and to the surrounding nation and give them my prophecy. And the prophecy was not a good one. It's of judgment. Because you know it. When you read about Israel in the Bible, all the time they are in trouble. Always they're doing something bad. And God called him and to send him over there so he can go and talk about the prophecy with them. And the Bible said in the book of Amos here, I think I lost my place. I'm going to get it. Chapter 7. Thus says the Lord God, verse 1. All right, you there? Okay. Okay, chapter 7, verse 1. And thus says the Lord God, show unto me, and behold the form grasshopper in the beginning of the shooting up of the later growth. And lo, it was the later growth after the king's mowing. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. So you see, they were in trouble. And God called his man and sent him over there to go and talk to them about what they have done wrong. And the message was not a good one. It's a message of condemnation. God said, you have done wrong. You've done three times. The four times, I'm going to bring a judgment. Every time, God repeated himself. He said, you did three times. And the fourth time, I'm going to bring judgment. And so on and so on. So he didn't call himself. He said, I was in the jungle or wherever he was in Tekoa, and he was feeding the flocks, and God called him and sent him to these people. And when I was in Africa, I was kind of sad to see how many people who call themselves. God didn't call them. They call themselves into the ministry. And the ministry now is really a mess. You got so many churches passing into every corner. Just say, remind me of America. But you see, life not changing. These people had been taking money from the poor in the name of God. In the name of, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pray for you. God is going to give you a better life. What can people do when they are in poverty, in a bad situation? When they heard this coming from the man of God, so-called, they give in. It was sad what I saw in Africa. I was shocked because everything is not going good. The economy is bad. And I started to wonder with the people I work with them. I said, I need something to tell you. I need to tell you something. I called some of our pastors. I said, we're going to have what I call an evaluation of the pastoral ministry. I want to talk to every one of you about your calling. Because many who are in the ministry and never been called. Is not what Jesus said. You're going to say, I did this in your name. I heal people. I provide. I did this and that. And God, Jesus will say, I never knew you. And so I called this pastor to me. I said, we're going to do what we call an evaluation of the ministry, pastoral ministry. And just a friendly talk. Each person have to give up and tell with me how God called him. Because I got mine. I told them as well. You know, how God called me into the ministry. And so we have a great talk. And I was very pleased. Many of those people, you can tell by their testimony, God really did call them. If not, they will quit the job. I mean, the ministry. I keep telling them, it's not a job. It's a ministry. Because if you're doing it to make more money, get another job. That's one thing I just speak up my mind, and when I have something, I just say it. I remember they sent a survey from the school I went to, and they said, would you like to come back and to the school? What do you like about the school? And so on. And I told them, I said, well, I'm kind of like disappointed with the school. They said, why? I said, well, you're asking too much money for the registration, what I have to pay for class. That's too much. I told them, I said, I'm a missionary. I'm going to Africa. I'm not going to be in Africa and make all the money I'm putting out into your school. Normally, you should train me for free or at least less. But you asking, I remember I pay more than maybe 15,000 or more for what? Doctoral degree? And then sit in Africa there in the little church with the doctoral degree? I said, no, I can't do that because it's not a kind of a thing you do because you say, okay, I'm going to go and get that big degree and make a lot of money. God called us not to make money. It's to preach, to be a preacher. And Jesus said, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a tough work, but he calls. And when he calls, we do it. We have to obey. So God calls some people and some he doesn't. And these people, they are into the ministry, trying to abuse people, taking money and so on. And the ministry is not easy. And it wasn't easy back then for Amos. Because when he went out with the message, it was not well received. Sometimes we preach, people don't want to hear it. It happened to me in Africa. Oh, I hear that all the time. Oh, I'm not interested. Sometimes they blame you from telling them what God told you to tell them. Because as a preachers, it's not our message. We receive from God and we just give a hand down to you. It's coming from God. In Africa, you cannot talk about sin anymore. It's hard. And when I look here in America, I heard in Canada now you cannot mention some kind of sins. So soon we won't have anything to preach about it. Right? You can't. You can't say that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this and do that. And you have to marry people who you supposed to, according to the Bible, cannot do it, but you have to do it if you want your license and so on and so on. I say, what kind of the world are we living in? And the Bible called Amos and sent him and say, go tell them I'm going to bring judgment on them for all the bad stuff they had been doing. I'm not going to close my eyes anymore. I'm fed up. And one of the men whose name is in chapter 7 here. Okay, the verse 6. The vision of the plumbing. The vision of the plumb line. Verse 7. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people. I will not again pass by them anymore. God is a master builder with his plumb line and level. Standing by the wall. You know what? As a builder, you know what you use the plumb line for? Especially when you see those tall buildings in New York, you need a plumb line to build them. If not, they're going to be crooked or they're going to lean or they're not going to be straight. And you need level when you start laying bricks. I learned quick. If you don't put your level, it's going to go like this. You better not do like in Africa. I'm going to catch up with the stucco. No. The wall have to be straight. And you need level and plumb line for in order to build. This house, it's almost perfect. This church, you see it? I don't see any mistake. Because the person who did it took his time with the level, plumb line, and meticulously built it. God said, I'm going to take care of my people. I'm going to go among of them with the plumb line and level. You know what the level is for, right? The life that doesn't match, doesn't go according to God's level, he's going to destroy. Many people today build the church according to themselves, according to their own mind, according to their own perspective, not according to the word of God. Oh, turn the TV on, you will see all kind of preaching going on. But when you build a church or a life without the word of God, the day will come, God is going to come and take your life and, hey, Pastor Bruno, come here. He's going to take his level and he's going to measure it. It's not straight. You know what he's going to do? Destroy. That's what I do in Africa when I was teaching young people. I said, put up a wall for me. And they're going to do that. I said, the guy from Cameroon, he won't tell you. I got upset. I said, no, this is not, I told you not. Take this down. And I started to go with the foot and kick all the bricks. And I said, redo it. He said, but it was okay. We can catch up. No, there's no catch up with God. The Bible is here as a rules to live by. It's a rule, it's a plumbing line here. And we cannot go outside of this. I don't care how much voice in the poll. But if the Bible says it is wrong, then it is wrong. That's the responsibility of preachers. We are not here to please. I'm not saying that because I'm perfect. I got my own problem too. But every time I say, what God is saying about this, and I try to fix my life according to the level and to the plumb line to align my life with the word of God, with God. And God said, I'm going to go among of my people. I mean, there's going to be a lot of destruction. Take things down which are not level. And people won't like that. People won't like it. In verse 9, and the high place of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuary of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Is God did it or not? He did it. He destroyed him. God never lied. The Bible never lied. The Bible is the truth. And then, verse 10, then Amasa the priest, you know Amasa's name means God Almighty. God Almighty. He's big. He's powerful. He's everything. He's omnipotent. Omniscience. What? Present. He's everywhere. He's powerful. And now his name means God Almighty. Now we're going to see the guy with the guy name of Almighty, what he's going to do. Verse 10 here, then Amasa, the priest of the Bethel, which is the old place for worship, which people don't get to go there anymore, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. What did he say wrong, Amos? He's just trying to pass along the word of God. He's trying to tell them, if you don't change, God is going to bring judgment on you. And what did he do wrong? But now, They blame him. The man who's supposed to be God Almighty with the wonderful name, now a star of some little, what we call in Africa, a gossip. He went to the king because he may be trying to seek king's favor. He said, you see what Amos is trying to do? He's conspiring against you, king. And you know, people who like to gossip, they sometimes they use a word to just to destroy the person. He said the country even cannot bear his words. He's lying. For thus Amos says, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. He's not the one who said it. God said it. If you have a problem with it, go talk to him. Now me, don't get upset with me. Go get upset with God who set the rules. Like yesterday, I was working and scrubbing. I told my wife, I said, it's going to take me a couple hours from 7 until 5 p.m. I said, honey, you all right? I said, yes, I'm still working. But did you see what God did? You got to work unto the Lord. And then I put more time into this work. And then jokingly, I said, well, it's pay off though. You know one time what happened to me? Before I shipped the container, I was working for a lady in some kind of place. What is the name of the city, babe? You remember? It's way behind Salem. That's from Strother. We say way out there. So it's very far. And I have to go over there every day for at least, I think maybe a week and a half, putting in a bathroom. But one thing with me, when I do my work, I do unto the Lord. I'm trying to not please people. You pay me, you don't pay me, I do unto the Lord. God take care of the rest of them. And you know, I work hard until the work is done. Before I leave, you know how God pay off. He pay you back when he tell you to do something, you do it sometimes. He always blesses you, but it doesn't come right away. But that day, it come right away to me. The lady wrote me a check, the one I work for it, and he says, sir, I was very pleased with your work. You're a hard worker, and I'm going to give you a bonus. Normally, a bonus is $100, right? Well, if you are blessed, lucky. But this lady wrote me a check of $3,000. He said, that's a gift to you. You're a hard worker. You did a good job. I started to cry. He said, no, you work for it. I said, no. So I took that money. And yesterday, as I was talking to my wife about working hard, God said, do unto the Lord. And that's too much. Why, Jesus, you say that? And then God brought this into my mind. Do you remember the $3,000? When you work so hard, I pay you back. I say, yeah. So I changed quick. I say, honey, I'm just joking. You know what I mean? But it was good. Because God cannot ask us to do something which is to hurt us. Because he loved us. He want our best. You know? And as you're reading here, this guy was lying, was saying something which is not good. And because they were not happy with the prophet, and instead of being not happy with God, they're blaming his prophet. For thus says, verse 11, for thus Amos says, Jeroboam shall die by the sword in Israel. And verse 12, also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, kind of like a mockery, you know, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah. We don't want you here in Israel. Leave and go. Go away. You bothering us. Our good time, our wine, red wine, and our parties, and all the, what we doing here, you trying to disturb. You know, just go away. He said, we don't want you here. Flee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. And I believe there's going to be a time, come a time where they don't want no preacher. Because les dérange, they disturbing, they make people uneasy. But should we quit? No. I have to keep preaching. It's going to be tough. Even me here, if I decide don't say this and that, I'm going to say it because I know me. Jail, that's fine. Here, the jail in U.S. is not too bad. You have a spaghetti. You got some good meatloaves and so forth. So that's all right. If it's African jail, maybe it's worse. And you got TV here too, right? Anyway, so there is going to come a time they don't want us to preach about Jesus or tell that you done wrong and this and that. And the Bible proceed to say, here, he said, flee there and eat your bread there and prophesy there. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king chapel and it is the king court. We don't want you here. This place of worship belongs to the king. This is the king court. We don't want you here. Who are you, by the way, to tell that? The world belongs to God anyway. God created the world. Can you fight against somebody who can talk to the sea, can talk to the wind, and wind obey? Can you fight against somebody who can call a dead body and get up? Are we losing our mind or what? This is God. This is the creator of the world, of the universe. This world belong to him. Technically, God he created the world. He just put us here as a manager. That's it. You can come here and impose yourself and say, no, it's not going to work. Then answer Amos, and I like what he said, Amos. He said about the prophet, said, not again anymore at Bethel, for it is a king court. Who are you to tell the men of God not to preach, not to say anything anymore? And those who are not called, they are in it for money. You know what they will do? Yes, sir. I preach the way you want, as long as my paycheck is coming in. But the true men of God who are called by the creator of the universe will say, no, I'll be preaching. Sorry. I got to tell the truth, just like it is. I'm just a little guy from Africa. I was minding my business and God called me into this. So what do you want me to do? I got to tell you. That's all. I'm trying to pass a message. So Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herd man, and a gatherer of sycamore fruits. That's like a wild fig. And the Lord took me as I follow the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. You see here, he didn't call himself. God called him. He said he defended himself. He's the only one we know more about his testimony, about his life, among of the minor prophets, because it said here, he was minding his own business, and God took me. He said, go and tell them, I'm going to send you to my people. So if the people are not happy, go and talk to God. We are here to help you, refocus. You see those sins, we don't have much time, but those sins, they have been committed, it's a lot. And by God took care of it. He said he's not going to let it go. He said, I had been bearing with you for a long time, and you seem to now understanding. So he taught, Gaza today doesn't exist. I mean, the Philistine, the ancient Philistine capital had made his people their prey, taking them captive and selling or giving them to Edom. You know, that's a sin. Tyrus, the Marshan city of the sea, once in brotherly covenant with Israel in the days of Solomon and Hiram, had forgotten the pledge and so forth. Each those nations around Israel, God did take care of them also. He didn't let them go by with it. You know, Ammon, the same thing. Moab, the same thing. And today, if you're going to look back into the history, these countries are history. Except maybe Damascus, which are populated by the Muslim. But God never lied. God said, I'm going to bring a judgment. He's going to bring it. And what we're seeing happening into our world today is really sad. You know, I mean, the war in Europe and why? Just like the Bible here said. Ammon's fiendish display of hatred against Israel, seeking by cruelty of most heinous character to blot out the hope of the chosen nation that he might enlarge his own border. It sound like somebody, you know, go and fight and try to take over countries of others, and so you make your countries bigger and kill people. There's a lot of bad things happening in our world today. You know, we can say by the name, and every church is now going live streams, right? That's what you call on the show, TV, Facebook, whatever. So every time you go to preach the term, you be careful what you're saying. Huh? Be careful what I'm going to say. And what if you come about a sin the Bible said by the name? You're going to come and see. And the Lord said, you shall not do that, that, that. And so that's what we're going to do now then. I remember in France when I was preaching for a friend of mine, he told me, I didn't listen, I just preach. But after he came, he said, that's the last time you're going to preach for me, man. I said, oh, okay, no problem. And it was true. He never invited me back again because he modifies his preaching according to the people he's going to please. He told me, because of you, I lost the support. Because when you're preaching, a lot of people are listening to me. And that's how I get my money. I make my money. He's from Ghana. I said, okay. But I'm sorry. It's in the Bible, my friend. So I left. And like Amos, if we are called by God, I think you got the point. We have to tell the message just like it is, just like we received. We are not man pleasers, and there's going to be some people like Amatia who are going to try to challenge you to say, no, you cannot speak that way anymore. No, you cannot tell this. You cannot talk about this anymore. And you know why we got to tell them? I'm sorry. I was minding my own business, and God took me and put me into this, and I must tell the people just like it is, because it's not my message, it's from God. And as a deliverer, we have to do it just like it is. So I'm here just to encourage you. The time in which we are living is not going to be pleasant. It's not more, it's going to be different and change. And the new generations, who didn't grow into the church and so forth, we have a hard time accepting the word of God, but it will remain the word of God, and our responsibility is to continue to preach kindly but faithfully. And I think I'm going to leave you with this verse. Lord just brought back into my mind in the 2 Timothy there, I was there in chapter 3, he said in the last time, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul was talking and he said, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous time shall come." He's talking about last day. During his time, back then, what is going to be now? "Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy." Whatever you do for them, you say, "Oh, so what? So what?" And he said, "Thank you. So what? We don't care." "Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accuser," just like the guy did it, Amasa did to Amos. "Oh, he is causing trouble in the city. Take him out. Send him to Judah. We don't want to hear from him anymore." Yeah. They're going to start accusing us. "Accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good." "Oh, pastor, you think you better than everybody? They just want to intimidate you. There's nothing about being better than somebody." But that's one of my friends in Africa. It's a sad story. The one who gave me ginger. He quit church. He said, "Oh, I'm not, but I believe if he's a true born again, he'd go to heaven." But according to him, he said, "I don't have nothing to do with Jesus." And I said, "What's wrong? He's a good Christian man." Because the other group of people are persecuting him. He loves the Lord. But because they couldn't walk with God, they got jealous and they keep poking him. They say, "Oh, you think you're better than every African here? You think you're a better Christian than everybody?" Persecution. Finally, he gave up. He left the church. He said, "I got nothing to do with it now." He said he's a Hindu, Chinese religion. No, that's what he's doing. Sad. But if you're a believer, you don't stand up, it's going to happen to you. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lover of pleasure more than lover of God. Do you see that today? People love themselves. They love other things. When you talk about God, there's a problem. They don't want God anymore. They love themselves more than God. I don't know how to do that, but having a form of godliness by denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They love and say they love God, but they reject at the same time. They don't want God. And Paul said, from people like this, turn away. Like, oh, that's the way you are? Okay. Turn and you take another direction. Don't hang out with the people like this, because they're going to contaminate you. Start wearing your mask and say, no, that's no good. Anybody who talk bad about God in Africa, I don't want to be friends with me. I don't care. I don't care about your friendship. You cannot trash my God. No. I mean, it's something to say, "I don't believe in God." You're still human. I still respect you. But when you start talking bad about God and to say bad things, no, you don't come here. Having a form, that means people who act like the believers. When you heard about this guy who blamed Amos, exactly, he is having a form of godliness, because his name meant God Almighty. And when you hear that, oh, he might be the man of God. And the Bible said he's a priest in Bethel. But at the same time, he rejected it. "Turn away from them, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with driver lust. And then the verse our friend read this morning from chapter 4, verse 2. He said, to give up? No. Preach! I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. That's a point. He judged the living and even the dead people. Oh, that should make us tremble. That's the one you should respect. That's the one you should obey. That's the one you should bow before him. Because he got power to give life and to take life. He said, I charge you before God. He put God in witness. He said, and before the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died and came back to life, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the words. Be instant in season. Out of season. People want to hear it? Preach. They don't want to hear it? Preach. They come? Preach. You don't show up? Preach. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It's not their fault. God predicted. But after they unlast, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. A lot of churches today, they hire. I met this guy. I didn't meet him personally, but my brother told me about him. I think I met him before, but I don't remember his face. So he leave France and go to Africa, and he's got his hands hold on one of the church. He's the one who dictate who can be the pastor, when you can be fired. I said to my brother, why are you doing that? He said, because he's the one who sent the big, he's the big donor. Try with me. You will regret. May God bless you.